Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today I have the pleasure of having Scott Horting, who was he's a singer, writer, composer from with the Planetonics, from the NBC show The Sing-Off. Basically, if you have a question, please call in at 347-324-3460, 347-324-3460. Scott, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I guess to begin with, kind of tell us the story, where you're from, and how did you get started in music?
I'm from Arlington, Texas, and I got started in music. I was just obsessed with it as a young kid. Mr. did it too, and I was always trying to emulate what she did. And so my mom put me in piano lessons and voice lessons at a really young age, and I just had a passion for it, loved it, and never stopped, and I'm still taking voice lessons. And yeah, I just loved it my whole life, so started really
young. Wow. So when you kind of tell us on the journey, were you in high school choir or a high school band that kind of fostered your music?
Yeah, well, I always tried to a little bit of everything. Like in elementary school, I did choir and did band in sixth grade, and then in junior high, I did choir. I did choir, and I did band and show choir, and then I did jazz band. I just always wanted to, I always was paranoid that I was missing out on something, but I was trying to be involved in as much as I could musically to see what I really liked. It ended up being singing was what I really liked to do. And so, yeah, but all that stuff, all the band, all the jazz that I took at school really, really helped foster music. I mean, when you're like involved in that many programs, a lot of music and a lot of stuff to do, and I had such a passion for it. I wanted it to be so good that I would just work on it all the time at home, and I think that really helped develop as a musician.
Okay, talk about your musical style. Who influenced you?
Who influenced me? My favorite artist is Jasmine Sullivan. It's mm-hmm. an R&B artist, and then Mark Broussard, John Legend, Ray Charles. It's a lot of like soulful arm. What I always love the most, all my most played on iTunes is just R&B albums, and I think that's kind of how my voice ended up sounding because that's what I listen to the most. But I also like a lot of pop stuff. I mean, Beyonce is one of the hardest artists in the world. I think she's incredible, and I think she inspires me a lot too, just her work ethic and her sound that she's created for herself.
Wow, so. You play the keyboards, of course, I mean, piano, and is it a different way when you perform or minister to a particular group? Is it what do you think about when you do that? When you're in a congregation of maybe 2,000 people or an intimate setting of a room full of 200 people versus the camera, take us through that journey. How do you change your performance styles when you're in those particular three different options?
Well, I mean, if I, like on Sing-Off, I would get obviously incredibly, incredible knowing that millions of people were going to see the performance. But there's a comfort that comes with having your best friends on stage with you. The fact that it was the five of us made me a lot less nervous just because I knew that they were there. It was a weird feeling. I just felt really comfortable because they were on stage with me. Sometimes when I do stuff by myself, I'll get really, really nervous. Like if I do the national anthem, at a Ranger game or something, if I do it by myself, I get so nervous. But if I do it with my sister, I'm totally comfortable. And Pentatonix is an a cappella group, so we don't have instruments. So I've gotten really used to that. So anytime I have to perform with piano now, I get kind of nervous because I feel like my piano is a little rusty. But yeah, but I, I don't know. I always get nervous before every performance, pretty much. But when I start performing, that's when the nerves go away. Once I get into the zone, it's just like the nerves go away, no matter what performance I'm doing.
So what do you think when you do that? Do you just go into, do you just live and breathe the music? You just dive into it, and then you just turn it to this is your heart and soul, and it carries it, propels it?
Yeah. I mean, I rehearse so much ahead of time that it becomes kind of muscle memory. And then when I go out there, I just do what I practiced, exactly how I practiced it. And I just put passion into it. And I mean, I always love performing so much that it becomes really fun when I go on stage. So.
So singing with an a cappella group is really, really difficult because of you have nobody but yourself. You have no instruments, so you can't even tire weaken out. The strength is on his own. How do you focus and stay on tune or in task? Doing one song or two songs is no problem, but doing a 45-minute set and staying on tune and staying focused and have that energy, how do you do that with a group?
It's really, really hard. I mean, we rehearse all the time, which helps, but, I mean, our bass, fortunately, is really, really, really talented, and he's always really in tune with the bass, and then we just tune to him. And I think that when we worked on the sing-off, it was eight-hour days every day, so we kind of built up stamina when it comes to doing, like, 45-minute sets. We make the sets. I mean, what's hard about a cappella music is you never have musical interludes or little, like, times where you can take a break from singing. You're always singing because the voices are the musical interludes. So if you're not doing a solo, you're doing, like a da-da-da-da-da-da, but you're still singing. And so your voice gets really tired, but I feel like we've just practiced so much and we've sung so much that we've gotten used to it. And unfortunately, our group doesn't really have that many tuning issues. And we'll make the set. We'll make it to where we have, like, easy songs and then our hard songs and then, like, 10 minutes of easy songs and then so we can take breaks.
Okay. So how do you write your own songs as a composer? Does it just come to you in the middle of the night or it comes to you throughout the day? And how do you write it all down and then take that song or the energy that you created to teach the other groups? Or you make magic together?
Well, it's a little bit of both. Inspiration kind of comes to me randomly, like throughout the day or in the middle of the night. I never know. One time it came to me on an airplane when our phones were supposed to be off, but I like had to record the idea. So I secretly turned my phone back on and recorded the idea. But I just think of I'll just think of the most random things, the random times of the day. That's really how it works. Musical melodies or something. And then I'll record it in my phone and then I'll go back and kind of flesh the song out. And I always do lyrics last because I like to get the feeling of the melody first. And then I just fill it in with lyrics.
Wow.
But everyone does it differently. Some people like do lyrics first and think that's most important. I mean, I think it's all important, but I do lyrics last. But sometimes as a group, we'll just jam, like our beatboxer will start doing a beat and then our bass will start singing a bass line. And then we'll just kind of come up with melodies or come up with random things and harmonize them and see if we can come up with something special. But so both ways we're expressed.
So how you describe your group's music? I know on the sing-off you guys went to one extreme to another. What is your particular style of music that you and your group enjoys?
Well, it's funny because all five of us have different, really different tastes in music and what we listen to, which is kind of cool because I feel like that's what developed our sound as a group. We're kind of this like pop, electronic, soulful group now, because Mitch, our tenor, listens to like dubstep and electronic music, and he has his whole life. He's really into that and like a bunch of indie stuff. And then Kevin, our beatboxer, listens to classical music. I listen to R&B. Avi listens to like folk music and country music. It's like drastic different tastes in music, but it's really cool because when we're arranging and writing, people bring in different elements of different styles of music, and it kind of creates this hybrid that really works for us.
Wow. So when you form your group itself, I've seen some other interviews, how you brought about your group. How did you guys get to the point of when you decided to go on that show? when you thought about going on the show, you auditioned. Can you talk about that process, how you got on the show? Go ahead.
I made a trio my senior year of high school. I asked my friend Kirsty and Mitch to do this little trio thing for me, just for YouTube. And it got some attention on YouTube. And people around the school really liked it, so we did a few more videos. And then we all went to college and went separate ways, so the group kind of split up. In college, I joined an a cappella group called SoCal Vocals at USC, University of Southern California. And I loved that a cappella group, and I had so much fun in it. And a lot of people in that a cappella group had been on the show before, because SoCal Vocals had been on the show as the SoCals on season one. And they were like, you should try out with your trio. I mean, I think y'all would really make it. So I called the show, and they said that I had to try out with at least four or five. So one of my friends, Ben Bram, suggested that I find a beatboxer and a bass. So I found a beatboxer and a bass. The beatboxer I found on YouTube, and then the bass I found through a mutual friend, that same friend that told me I should find a beatboxer and a bass. And I just asked the other four if they would like to try out for the show, because I heard it was really fun and it could be a really cool opportunity, and they were all completely down. And so I arranged everything with my friend Ben, and we sent it out. We just sent it out via email. Everyone learned their parts. And then we all flew in, and we met a day before the audition with our parts learned, and we just sang it, and it worked. Like, everyone knew their part, and it sounded great. And so rehearsal was really easy, and then the next day we went into the audition.
And what do you think about how did the audition take?
How long did the audition take? Not too long. They had us sing three songs that we had prepared, and then they said, can you do a fourth song? But we honestly didn't have one. And one of the people were like, y'all used to be a trio, right? Why don't you do Firework? And Firework was a song we did as a trio, and we hadn't done it in probably over a year. We were like, okay, we'll try it. So the three of us, I was like, we don't have a part for the bass or beatboxer. And they were like, well, they can just make up a part. So the three of us started singing our old rendition of Firework that we kind of remembered. We messed up a couple parts, but we remembered it for the most part. And Kevin and Avi, our bass and beatboxer, just jumped in and started making up their own parts. And it was actually really, really, really good. And the whole thing came together, and it sounded like a prepared arrangement. So they were really blown away by that, which was really cool. And that's why we're so thankful we have Kevin and Avi, because they're just brilliant musicians, and they can make up stuff on the spot like that. And so that helps a lot.
Wow, a lot of energy there. So what did it feel like when they said, we selected you? And how long did it take them to let you know that you're selected?
Well, they called us a few days after, and we're like, we really, really liked you, and we want you to be on the show. And I remember I was in a car full of people on my way to a gig where I was going to do backup vocals for my friend, and I just started freaking out. I was so excited. And he was like, I'll let you call the rest of the group because I'm sure you want to. And I was so excited. So I called each member individually and got to hear all their reactions. They were so excited. I could not believe it was happening.
Wow. That was amazing. So when you, your first day on the show, kind of walk us through, you know, from the very beginning, because you had a lot of groups competing and everybody's after this one single goal. How did it feel the first day when you walk onto the set, and did they give you enough time to learn something? If everybody began with the same thing at the same time, how did that process work? Did they give you enough time to learn something in order to, I guess, to go back and perform it?
Yeah, I mean, well, the first day on set, we just took off running. It was rehearsal, rehearsal, rehearsal immediately. Like, the second we got there, we had, like, vocal rehearsal, and then we had a choreo rehearsal. And then we had a group rehearsal and then a group choreo rehearsal. And we were like, oh, my gosh, is this how it's going to be like? Or are they just doing this to, like, I don't know. It was weird. But we immediately just, like, started rehearsing like crazy. And it was intimidating, too, to see all the other groups, because we were only a group of five. And all the other groups had, like, 16 members. So they were, like, all these, like, frats that were just, like, hanging out. And we just had the five of us. And we didn't even know each other that well. So it was a scary first day, that's for sure. But they gave us a lot of time to prepare. They made us rehearse all the time. So we like had plenty of preparation time just because hours of rehearsal every day. So yeah, that's how that was. And we got close to the other groups, as intimidating as it was. Like, all the groups are really friendly, and we got close to them fast, which was cool.
Wow. So, yeah. So how did you function? I mean, singing all day, playing all day is one thing, but singing all day is a huge task. How you guys manage for your voice to handle the stress of singing so much?
Well, we would do this thing we called like marking it, where we would just sing in falsetto or just sing really lightly and softly while we rehearsed, and we never really did it full out because our arrangements were really high and belty, and we couldn't be singing them 8 hours a day how they're normally supposed to be sung. So we would just sing it in falsetto mainly. And then like at dress rehearsal or later in the week right before we were going to perform, we would start rehearsing it full out. And so that's how we kind of saved our voices. But even doing that, our voices still got really tired. I mean, we all had to go to doctors for our voices.
Okay, so they had a doctor on set to kind of help you guys out?
Yeah, they had voice teachers, and they would bring a doctor on set whenever someone's voice got really tired. But everyone in our group had issues at one point, so it was kind of scary. I definitely had to go to an ear, nose, throat doctor and a voice coach a bunch of times for my voice.
Okay. Any scary parts that, hey, getting ready for this whole process and all of a sudden you become hoarse or something like that, did they kind of teach you how to deal with that particular situation? Did you have to drink something or just go solid vocal rest and don't speak? Or how did they coach you guys to how to handle that?
Well, actually, there was several scary times when people didn't really have their voice, but the adrenaline kind of helps you get it back. But I remember the last episode, it was Dog Days Are Over. I was really sick and completely lost my voice, like to where, like the type of lost your voice where you're like whispering, like you can't talk at all. So I couldn't sing, but they weren't going to change the date of the taping. So what I did was I drank a lot of tea and like relaxed and went on vocal rest and prayed a lot. But I kind of started getting it back, but it was still gone. And Dog Days Are Over is one of our hardest arrangements to sing. So they ended up bringing a doctor in to like give me a booster shot for like a sick person. And that kind of like gave me my voice back for 6 hours and then it was gone again. But that, I know, but that was the scariest time ever. I was freaking out because it was like the last episode before they decided the winner. And of course I completely lose my voice.
Wow.
So that was scary.
So how would this whole process take from the first of the taping then versus towards the very end?
It started taping, I can't remember. Late August, I think, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's wrong. Okay, early August, maybe. Anyways, it taped for 8 weeks, and it stopped taping September 15th. So whatever the math is there. But it was from like June was the audition process, and then I think we started taping late July, early August, and then it finished September 15th. And then it started taping. I don't even remember when it started taping, but it finished taping November 28th.
Okay.
So from June to November is kind of the whole sing-off experience for me.
So they give you a whole week to prepare for that particular episode, that how it worked, or?
Yeah, we would, well, you start picking a song during the week. So we would start rehearsing, like, our country song, but we would already be thinking about the R&B song for next week if we made it. So while we're rehearsing the country song, we're discussing with clearance producers like what R&B song we want to do, because you have to give them a bunch of options because they have to go get it cleared by the artist. And and then they would be like, all right, if you make it past country week, then here's your R&B song. And so if we were feeling really good about our R&B song, we would go ahead and start working our – I mean, if we were feeling really good about our country song, we would go ahead and start working on our R&B song for the next week. And so it was a lot of like overlapping and a lot of multitasking, but it was fun. It was really fun. It was challenging.
Wow. So towards the end, when you're down to the last two episodes, that the last two episodes live? I know the last one was, but...
The last one was live when they announced the winner, and then we did a reunion episode after that was live.
Okay. So going towards the very end, now it's down to two people. Did you feel that, hey, we had a great chance of getting towards the end when you start this whole process?
Not really. We didn't. After we did E.T., well, right before we sung E.T., I had no idea that if we were even going to make it past that episode. But then we got really, really good reviews from the judges right after we sang E.T. And so I immediately had a thought like, oh, well, maybe we can hold our own in this competition. Like, we might only be five people, but maybe we can do it. And then the week after that, we got some criticism. So it was kind of like, oh, well, maybe we won't last that long. Because there were some amazing groups, and there were some amazing initial performances, too. And so we were really, really nervous. It wasn't until later in the competition where we were like, all right, I think we can make it to the finals. We had confidence that we would make it to the finals at least. But it was really anyone's game to who won, because Afro Blue and Dartmouth Airs and everyone were like really, 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 really good. And every week was so different. Some people would have amazing weeks, and then we would have a bad week, and then someone would have an amazing week. So you never really know, for sure.
Well, any moments that really stuck out to you when you went through the whole process, they say, hey, during this process, like you just mentioned, we have a good chance of making it. Any particular scenes that stood out to you in the background with the groups you predict the winner? Who can be your best, who you're going to end up competing with towards the end?
There was a couple moments where I was like, oh, wow. I remember when Afro Blue sang American Boy on episode mm-hmm. two. I remember telling Kirstie, I was like, I think they're going to win, or they'll at least make it to the top two. And then a couple of the Dartmouth Airs were, oh, when Dartmouth Airs did the Bohemian Rhapsody, or that Queen medley, I thought that they were going to make it to the finals too. So moments like that is when I really got nervous about the competition. Is that what you asked? Or did you ask this?
Yeah, you actually answered that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, cool. And towards the very end, when you were down to the last two people, and mm-hmm. how did it feel? You had a great chance. You know, you guys say, I have to go take this team out. But how did it feel on stage with all these people looking that all of a sudden they announced your name? How did you feel?
Well, there was just so many emotions that were going in on those final two. First of all, the Dartmouth Airs who were in the final two with us, they were the first group we met on the show when we first came, and they were the only other group that was from our bracket. And so they were like our best friends, so it was crazy to be up there with them, and it just kind of made us all flashback. And then they played this video of our journey on the show and everything we've been through. And then immediately our whole group's in tears because it was like so crazy to watch back our lives changing as it was happening on the show. Mm-hmm. And it was just the most unreal thing. And then when they announced our name, I just remember my heart dropped. It was insanity. It was the craziest feeling. And the Dartmouth Airs were just so happy for us, and they ran over to us and tackled us. And it was just like, it really was like one of the happiest moments of my life. And I remember they asked me on the show, they're like, how does it feel to be the Sing Off Champions? And I couldn't even answer. I like was talking to them, and I just kept stuttering over my words. And I was just like, this is crazy. I can't believe it. Like, I just didn't even have like a winning speech. It was just like a stuttery mess, but it was really, it was an unbelievable experience.
Well, that's what people love about reality TV and live TV, because it's unrehearsed. It's just from your heart. What was your guy's swan song, you know, and you never get to use it, but did you have one?
Yeah, our swan song was Bye 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 by NSYNC. And, we had a really, really fun version of it. So it was kind of a bittersweet thing that we never got to perform it. But we perform it at our shows now.
Wow. After winning, what life has been for you and the group since then?
It's been a whirlwind. It really has. We all moved to LA, and that's where we're based now. And on almost every weekend, we have a gig somewhere. Like, we'll go to New Jersey, we'll go to Boston, and it's a lot of traveling to the East Coast on the weekends. And then during the week, we're putting together an EP, and so we'll arrange and record and write for that. And then we'll try to make a YouTube video here and there, so we can keep material out to all our fans. But it's a constant thing, and it's a lot of, and the music business, I've been learning a lot about record labels and a lot about ASCAP and BMI and all that stuff and how it all works. And so it's been an enlightening, insane experience, but super fun. It's a dream come true. This is what I've always wanted to do my whole life, and now it's happening.
Wow. And you never realized this, Will, being in high school, that you would be in the position you are in today.
Right. I never would have guessed that in a million years.
Wow.
So it really is a gift.
So how, in the business sense, the last couple of few questions, how are you able to handle the business itself? You have to pick a publicist, you have to pick a business manager to do things for
yeah.
you. Now you guys are operating as a business. How do you transition to that, and how do you pick people that you can trust to represent you in your behalf?
It's a scary thing. The first thing we did was pick a manager, and Sony kind of helped us find managers to interview, and and a couple managers approached us too. So we sat down with them, interviewed them face to face, and kind of looked at what they had done in the past and their successes, and just kind of like hung out with them, just kind of get a feel. And we really had a really good vibe from the manager we have now. His name's Jonathan, and he's a great manager, and he helps us. He kind of helped us find all of the other parts of the puzzle too. And we're also working with this guy named Bill Dorfman. Dr. Bill Dorfman, he's a dentist. but he's like a really successful businessman. And he has a bunch of businesses, and he knows a bunch of lawyers and publicists and stuff. And he's helped us a lot too. And just like, we kind of are getting this team around us that we really, really trust. And they helped us find an incredible lawyer, and we love them, incredible publicist. Our business manager is awesome. And so it's been exciting. It was kind of a scary process because your team is the most important part of your career. You have to have an incredible team around you. So so it was a scary process. But
so any when you're dealing with Sony, was it really easy to, they've been holding you by the hand, and you guys have started working on your album yet?
Yeah, we're under Sony Madison Gate now, and we are working on an EP, so a 6-song EP, and we're 5 songs in. We have 1 song left. We've already written it. It's one of the originals. It's a song Avi wrote, and now we just have to lay down the parts, get it mixed, mastered, and then do artwork, and it'll be out. So it should be out pretty soon, within the next month, I think.
Oh, wow, that quick.
Yeah.
And any advice that you would give someone who's looking at going this path, going to the show, number one, and number two, any advice that you would give them once they do land a contract, what do they need to do besides, you know, hire your manager, and what they need to look for, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Going into the show, I would just say go really prepared and go in with a good attitude. And it's important to get positive and great singers around you if you're going to go in, because I feel like that's what helps so much. The other people in my group are so talented, and they're so positive, and they've got a really good outlook on life. So it was very comfortable going in, and I think that helped us get on the show. And if you do land the contract, or you do get a record deal, I guess just look for, a lot of meetings and a lot of meeting with lawyers and business managers. And it's kind of a stressful thing, but it's all about staying positive, which sounds really cheesy and cliche, but I think that's a big thing in the music industry, because it can be a scary thing.
Wow.
But yeah.
So what's in store for you in the future?
Well, after the EP, we hope to maybe tour and promote it. And we have a bunch of gigs lined up. And we're hoping, we don't know if there's going to be, but we're hoping there's a season 4 of the Sing Off. So that'll be cool. We'll get to go back and probably perform on it and promote the EP and stuff.
Wow.
So that's what the future is right now.
Wow. And lastly, if there's a song that speaks to, that says exactly who you are, any song that comes to mind to say, hey, this is Scott's song?
A song that means a lot to me. I just love the lyrics. I love the melody. The first thing I think of is Gavin's Song by Mark Brassard. It's a really, really, really gorgeous song. And it's like a dad singing a lullaby to a son. And it's really, really cool. It's a beautiful song. And for some reason, I've always been obsessed with it. It's my top played on iTunes. So I guess that would have to be my choice.
Wow. So how does the first line goes, the melody?
It goes, I wish you freedom, I wish you peace, I wish you nights of stars that beckon you to see me. I wish you heartache for all that life demands. I wish I could be there, but I can't. Yeah, I think I messed up the heartache line, but that's how it goes. It's a gorgeous song, it's just ballad.
Wow. That's your song. That speaks to you
and
kind of describes who you are. Well, Scott, I really appreciate you coming to the program. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, again, Scott Harding, thank you again from Arlington, Texas. Appreciate it, and I wish you the very best.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Take care. This has been another production. Thank you. Talk to you later. This has been another production of The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this episode on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. Take care and have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.